strangely. When Joe pulled the next bone into place, the young mage passed out. After Joe had ensured that the bones were where they were supposed to be, he channeled his Lay on Hands spell and healed the mage as best as he could. The bones would take more time to heal, naturally, but Joe decided that now would be a good time to practice fixing them. Nothing like a willing and damaged target to hone his skills on. He started small, looking for the fragments floating next to where they were supposed to be. Pushing the shard into place, he tried to convince the small fragment to bind itself to the larger bone. The chunk of calcium simply ignored his orders. Joe huffed, feeling a bit upset. Why wasn't this working? In every other game ever, as far as he knew, healing bones wasn't an issue. To be fair, he hadn't really played games, but then again, if he remembered correctly, healing was usually considered a light spell, and he didn't have... He did have access to dark spells, though. Could that work? Joe tried to add darkness to his healing spell, braiding it into the water. To the naked eye, the water flowing from him simply turned black. Inside Cell's body, Joe was able to see the darkness sink into the bone and fragment, acting as an adhesive that held them fast to each other. The darkness didn't vanish even when Joe stopped putting power into it. Since bones didn't have nerves in them, and because the bones remained stable when he moved Cell's arm, Joe had to conclude that the bone was healed. Hopefully, the dark mana would eventually vanish and leave behind a healthy arm, but Joe would need to watch for side effects in the future. Gah! Joe rolled his eyes and almost slapped himself. This was why he had been able to heal his own body to a much higher degree than he could heal others. Joe was already stuffed full of dark and water mana and could manipulate it freely when he healed himself. How had he not practiced with this yet? Joe could only blame his lacking skills on himself. He should have been practicing instead of gallivanting all over Eternia. He was almost spitting mad when he canceled the spell and tested Cell's movement. His face was calm for the first time since they met, so Joe assumed he was out of pain. While the man was still asleep, Joe took the chalice and filled it with Cell's blood. He had to add him to the quarantine ritual, or staying here would remain absolute torture. As he went about his business, he checked the notifications waiting for him. Congratulations for grasping the requirements for a more specialized form of healing without system assistance. Heal has morphed into a higher tier skill, Mend. Your creativity, true knowledge of healing, and usage of the spell has shown a high level of skill and power, boosting your skill ranks greatly. Skill increased. Mend. Beginner 8. Select a target to heal, restoring 5N health, where N equals skill level. Unlike the lower tier skill heal, Mend is able to heal broken bones. Congratulations! Mend has reached the beginner ranks. Dark affinity is automatically added to the spell and will heal dark-aligned creatures twice as effectively. No extra effect added. You have created a new ritual, Ritual of Containment. This ritual utilizes the target's stamina to power the ritual and absorbs any mana from the target that is bound into a spell form. If target leaves the containment area, their stamina and mana will be fully drained. Their health will also begin to fall, but can never fall past 10 points due to the effect of this ritual. Health, mana, and stamina will only regenerate once the target has re-entered the circle. To cast this ritual, the target needs to show willingness to be confined. Remaining in the spell circle for a full minute after activation and a donation of their blood can be used to show their willingness. More targets can be added to the same ritual with a donation of blood. This ritual can be deactivated at will by Joe. Joe had built the at-will deactivation functionality into the ritual for a very simple reason. It was very unlikely that anyone could change the ritual and have it remain effective. This way, if someone got a hold of his rituals and tried to use them against him, he could quickly end the ritual and save himself. He planned on adding this as a safety function to all of his rituals, though it added about 10% mana cost to the overall diagram. Rituals could be activated and used by anyone, so it was better to create a way to protect himself now than be betrayed in the future by his own work. Cell woke up right about then, moving slowly as his mind tried to convince him he was still injured.
"What did you do to me? I feel not good, but no longer damaged."
"Well, I healed you and added you to the exceptions listing of the ritual over there. So you won't feel sick, and you shouldn't be all sorts of mangled. I have a couple more questions for you before we are done, namely, do you think the Mage's College is withholding assistance from the kingdom? I have seen a lot of warriors and archers that have a couple magical abilities, but I haven't seen any mages out hunting down wolfmen."
"I guess I am unsure. I know that there have been messengers coming to the college for years, and any of them that seem to be on official business always leave looking like they have been eating lemons. It was always a point of pride to us seeing the heralds of the kingdom be turned away like commoners. Now it just seems wrong."
As Cell was speaking, he was inspecting the ritual he was surrounded by. He was trying to be sneaky, but had a very poor poker face. "Uh-huh." Joe watched as the man obviously began to create a spell. Cell thought he was keeping his hands hidden in his robe, but the motions had the whole thing wiggling and moving around. "You said that the older mages don't say anything about the Accords. Is there any reason that the Accords would affect them differently?"
"Sure, sure," Cell responded distractedly. "When mages are allowed to specialize to their second class or graduate, they sign the Accords a second time. They sign a third time before they are allowed to specialize further. When they sign the third time, they have full rights and privileges as a master or professor. That is also when they stop talking about the Accords, now that I think about it. In my head, it was always because they no longer needed to worry about them. Instead, it could be Winds of Immolation!"
Joe stood silently as the crazed look of glee slowly slid from Cell's face. He was posed in an awkward position, his hands pointed at Joe. He wiggled his fingers a bit more and frowned. Joe coughed into his closed fist to regain Cell's attention. "Last question for you, then. If the Accords were somehow destroyed, do you think the mages in the guild would turn against the Archmage and help the kingdom?" Cell looked rather shaken.
"You took my spellcasting ability? You unbelievable monster."
"Pretty sure you just tried to light me on fire," Joe responded dryly. "Answer the question."
"No, they would not turn against him," Cell growled as he started to sidle away from Joe. "They'd all be dead. All of us would. Anyone who signed the Accords. There is a repercussion clause against a foreign power gaining control over the college. We'd all die instantly if the Accords were destroyed."
Joe looked at the ground, nodding and thinking to himself. Seeing his distracted state, Cell started sprinting toward the exit. 10 feet from his starting position, he crossed the lines of the ritual, instantly falling flat as his stamina and mana were drained from him. He began to scream weakly as the ritual latched onto his health and began to pull. Ever so slowly, Cell was able to roll himself into the ritual area again. Joe watched all of this happen with a callous gaze. The mage had tried to kill him several times now. Simply keeping him contained was Joe's way of being merciful. "Thank you for the information, Cell. I've decided that you will be helping me for the next few weeks, however unwillingly that might happen. Let's start now." While Cell looked on, trembling from fear, Joe spent the next half hour writing out the ritual diagram for Gravedigger's Requiem. When it was finished, he looked it over, double-checked the circles and markings, and began to place the components in their positions. The final item was his scepter,
and he felt a bit naked without it at his hip. Taking a bit of Cell's collected blood from his storage ring, he added it to the mana donor section. When he was ready, he took a deep breath and began empowering the ritual. His mana started to stream off of him, and he was very careful to keep it flowing along the proper channels from the beginning. It'd be nice to increase his mana manipulation at the same time. As the first circle finished becoming powered, Joe looked at his mana and noticed that it had been draining like normal. As the second circle started to draw power, he watched as his mana dipped all the way to only a quarter full. At that point, Cell suddenly yelped, and mana stopped escaping from Joe's body. He watched the mage try to control himself, but his face was paling rapidly. Just before he would have collapsed, Joe's mana began to drain once more. The ritual completed just as Joe's mana touched 20%, and he whooped as he saw that the taglock needle on his scepter seemed to be distorting the air around it. It was vibrating softly and releasing a faint musical chime. Joe was concerned that the vibration might be damaging the needle, but after watching the durability for a minute, he was certain that he was simply paranoid. Though he was very excited to test this out, he really needed to get some sleep first.
"I feel so violated! You used me like a...
"Battery?" Joe finished for the captured mage. "You make a pretty good power, Cell." He looked at the confused man, waiting for a reaction.
"I make a good what?"
"Power, Cell."
"Power what? Stop saying my name!"
Cell balled his fists and roared at the ritualist. Joe tisked and looked away.
"I'll go get you a bucket of water and a clean set of robes. Then I'm going to bed. You should try to rest up. We have lots of work to do."
Joe strolled away, tiredness obvious in his voice. He had been up overnight, and he was feeling it now. When Cell was alone, his brow furrowed.
"My mana manipulation skill increased?"
Chapter 33. Joe woke up feeling refreshed and cheerful. Sure, he didn't have a team to hunt with. Yes, the quests that he currently had were long-term and vastly difficult. No, he didn't have a clear way to reach his goals. Joe suddenly wasn't feeling quite as cheerful. He decided that before going back to the research and development of his rituals, that it might be a good time to return to the library and look for some easy quests that he could complete between studying and creating rituals. He stepped out of the guild building and winced at the bright light flooding the area. Whoops. It was later in the day than he had thought. Joe started trotting toward the library. The position of the sun showed him that it was already early afternoon, and he wanted to make sure to find some good information before the library closed for the evening. It wouldn't be a good idea to mess with his sleep cycle too much, so he should try to do his work during daylight hours. He walked into the library, waving at Boris. The old man glanced up, nodding at him, and then did a double take.
"Hey, how are you, a level 2 scholar? I haven't rewarded you for any quest completions. Who is giving unauthorized quests? Is it Bobius?" "It is, isn't it? I told him that I..."
It wouldn't be a good idea to explain where the level actually came from, so Joe decided on a half-truth.
"No, sir. No one else gave me a quest. I got a special reward for completing a quest for the kingdom."
"The kingdom? How did they give you experience toward your scholar job?"
Boris, for good reason, didn't believe the story he was being fed. "It wasn't scholar-specific. Part of the reward was experience toward your profession. I really cannot tell you much more." Joe tried to appear as sincere as possible.
"Fine. Keep your secrets like those impotent mages at the college. Stupid nation is getting shrouded in mystery. Ooh, I don't tell other people what's going on. I'm so surprised that we aren't advancing and need to do everything twice."
Boris spat sarcastically.
"Whatever. Well, You advanced to level 2. Just perfect. Why not? You are already a special case. All right, you didn't bring any new information into the library, and you never advanced our cause.
Sorry about that?
Joe looked up at the man with a hopeful grin.
Oomph. Well, rules are rules, even when they are stupid. You are level 2 as a scholar. You now have access to the uncommon book section. I would suggest that you try to get to the 3rd level the correct way, otherwise other scholars may start becoming antagonistic toward your special treatment. To that end, you can gain job experience in a few ways. Either by doing research and creating something from the books that no one else has been able to, completing a quest you find in the books that you confirm with me before you run off, or the standard way, which is to bring back lost or forgotten knowledge and donate it to the Society of Scholars.
You know about quests in the books that haven't been completed? Joe is excited to hear about this. Maybe he wouldn't need to hide his ability to find secret quests.
What do you mean? Of course I know. Did you know?
Boris looked at Joe like he had insulted his mother.
Ugh. Just go take a look around the uncommon book area. Your face is bringing back bad memories, even though you don't look like a walking corpse anymore.
Rude, Joe snorted, and walked up the stairs leading to the 2nd level. At the top was a sign warning off anyone who didn't have access to the uncommon section. Walking through the archway that denoted the entrance to the room, he felt as though he had just walked into a thick spider web. Joe shivered, brushing at himself before realizing that it was probably a security measure against intruders. Looking around the empty room, he smiled and activated his job's special ability to see books containing truth. He beamed as he looked at the golden glow coming from the shelves. This section had far fewer fully black books, though not all the books here glowed brightly. Maybe this was the distinction between common and uncommon books. The fact that the information was more accurate, or maybe from a more reliable source? Either way, Joe had some work to do. He was happy to see that the ritual from the 1st floor had been in range of this room as well. This was easy to notice because the section he was looking at contained a lovely gradient of colored leather. It was too bad the books didn't all have titles. It would have made finding the information he was pursuing far easier to attain. He pulled a few books down, trying to get a feel for whatever sort of material they contained. Ah. It seemed he was in a section that had never interested him in reality, but here it was a potential gold mine. History. In Eternia, history could be more accurately labeled lore. It was fun, interesting, and wrong. Joe read through the 1st chapter with a twitching left eye. The book was wildly embellished and inaccurate. Drat. Whoever had written this had gotten a good chunk of the facts correct, but had been trying to flatter whatever noble house they were a part of. The cover still glowed a soft gold, but Joe felt that his eyes were deceiving him. What he really needed was to... A thought crossed his mind. A thought that made him very hopeful. He put the book on a small table, grabbed a few pages, and tried to will the pages to jump to pertinent information. The pages fluttered, and when he looked at the resulting page, yes! The words on this page were shining a bright gold, the specific coloration he had found which signaled a clue to creating a quest. This part was about an investigator who had a perfect record for only punishing criminals. Everyone else who was captured, who was innocent, was let go almost instantly. His story was a sad one, unfortunately, because he was targeted by various groups who had an interest in ensuring their dark deeds went unpunished. The author of the book thought that the assassin who killed the investigator had been funded by a noble house, and because of the glow of the words, Joe was able to see that his thoughts had been correct. So this... If I find more information... Will it become a hunt of the noble house, the abilities of the investigator, or something else entirely? Joe debated for a moment. Should he really take the 1st quest that he found? Maybe he should look over some other options?
He started skimming through other books, but his mind kept wandering back to the partial information he had found. How can I call myself a completionist if I don't take and complete every quest possible? He sighed and began searching through other books that were on either the same or a similar subject. Another hour passed, and he finally was able to put together a comprehensive and detailed version of events. No quest prompt appeared until Joe added a small part about how the investigator had left detailed instructions on understanding criminals in a place where criminals were sent to repent.
Quest created. Seeker of truth. An influential investigator met an untimely end due to his relentless pursuit of criminals. He may have left detailed records of how he was able to sniff out evildoers. Follow the clues you have found and find the truth for yourself. Reward: unknown. Penalty for failure: none. Accept? Yes or no?
Joe accepted the quest and walked downstairs with his notes. He needed to talk to Boris and make sure that this was an acceptable quest for a scholarly reward. Boris? Got a quest here. Would you look at it and approve it?
Boris's head jerked up off his desk, and he blinked, tired-eyed. Boy, you do know that some of us have other things to do at night. We were supposed to close an hour ago. Let me see the quest you found.
He snatched Joe's notes and looked over the details. Joe had included references, showing which book and page he had gained the information from.
Interesting. But how does this help our society?
Since I am uncertain what our society does as a whole, I figured it would be useful for us to have these methods of determining truth from people. That way, we could validate information coming to us from third parties. Joe's words made Boris nod softly.
It would indeed be useful. If it exists.
He tapped his chin a few times and nodded.
All right. I approve this quest as a suitable scholarly mission. I'll add on 50 points toward your job upon quest completion, 100 if you are able to secure the techniques described here. Yes, you get points even if you bring back nothing.
Quest rewards updated. Seeker of truth. Rewards: unknown. Profession: experience, 100. Failure: none. Profession: experience, 50.
Excellent. Now that quest was fully worth attempting. Joe waved at Boris, who scowled and started locking the doors to the library. Maybe he should get Boris a fruit basket or something to cheer him up. He was rather nice, no matter the curmudgeonly aura he exuded. Joe started walking toward the, oh dang, his prisoner. He hurried back to his rented warehouse, entering and rushing over to find an unconscious mage, Sal. Shoot! Totally dehydrated. I never gave him drinking water or food today. After the ritual emptied him out, too. I'm a terrible medic.
He channeled cleanse into the collapsed mage, getting his water levels to a stable point. After a long minute, Sal stirred and woozily glared at Joe.
You left me here. I thought you were going to let me die.
You could have used the water to drink, Joe tried to defend himself. Or at least changed and cleaned up a bit. You seriously smell.
Is that my fault?
Sal howled and jumped to his feet.
You left the bucket of water over there!
He pointed, and sure enough, a bucket of full water was patiently waiting to be used, about 5 feet from the edge of the ritual. Ah. Sorry about that. Joe scratched his head sheepishly. I've never had to take care of a detainee. Slipped my mind.
Slipped your...
Cell slid to a sitting position with an unpleasant squelch.
I'm going to die here, aren't I?
Stop being so dramatic, Joe rolled his eyes. So long as you are at least a little alive, I can drag you back to full health. I am a cleric, after all.
So there's no escape,
Sel whispered with wide eyes.
Drama queen,
Joe groaned as he rubbed his bald head. Look, I'm going to eat some food. Would you like some? Sel's stomach rumbled at the mention of food. Joe was unsurprised. A noble brat like this had likely never had to miss a meal or even skimp a little. Pulling some food out of his storage ring, Joe handed over a basic sandwich and waited for Sel to start before he ate his own. Look, I'm going to bring that bucket over, and here's a spare set of clothes. Try to clean up, get changed, and get some sleep. Tomorrow we are going to do more rituals. Hey, can I call you Tate?
What? No! My name is Sel! Why would you want to call me Tate?
Sel asked suspiciously.
It's short for potato.
Sel didn't blink, but his hands trembled.
And why would you want to call me Potato?
Because much like the noble potato, you are not a battery, but you are going to be used as one.
Joe chuckled as he brought over a pillow and thin blanket for Sel.
Sleep well, Tate.
I'm going to light you on fire when I escape,
Sel whispered as he watched Joe leave the building. As the door closed, all light in the building vanished, leaving him in a large and hopefully empty space. Small scratching sounds reaching his ears made sleep difficult that night. Chapter 34 Joe awoke with a positive outlook on life. Something about going 2 days in a row with his only wound being a paper cut just felt right. He had a nice breakfast, storing an extra plate of food for Sel because he deserved a pleasant surprise. Grabbing his notes, he went to the store for more paper, ink, and a spare quill. He also purchased another bucket of chalk from a nearby art supplier. It wouldn't be good to run out when he needed it. Joe was walking back to the warehouse when he noticed that the roads were quiet. Very, very quiet. He reached for his scepter, getting a firm hold on it just as his senses screamed at him to move. He jumped as hard as he could, reaching rooftop level just as the entire road seemed to explode. A hurricane force updraft from the massive flame threw him to the side, and he landed heavily on the rooftop. He took no damage from the fall, his Jumplomancer class coming into effect. The blast did take 10 points off his health, a sickening amount since he was nowhere near the epicenter of that attack. He looked around, trying to find who had attacked him.
Ha! Had some kind of a shield up, did you? Mage armor? Blast through you clear to the roof!
A jovial voice called to him.
Not many people get to see volcanic conflagration and live to talk about it. You impress me.
Impress you enough to make you go away?
Joe looked around, eyes narrowing as he saw a beefy mage in a bright red robe talking to him. How had he missed seeing that?
Why did you attack me? Who are you?
That should be an easy answer for you.
The mage's face and voice turned dangerously furious.
Not only are you a rogue mage, but you also killed one of the most promising fire mages of this generation. Where did you hide Sel's body?
I certainly did not kill him, Joe shouted at the man.
If the spell he was creating was any indication, the mage didn't seem to believe him.
See this? Nasty little spell called lava worms. Not all that useful in a war. The damage over time is quite small. Torture, though? Well, this spell is great for that. The worms burrow into you and start swimming around. Painful, very painful.
There was dirt flying up, collecting and liquefying in the intense fire he was generating.
I'm strong enough to keep them hot till they reach your brain. You have until that point to tell me where his body is.
Joe prepared his scepter. There was no way he was letting that stuff swim through his body. The mage wasn't listening to reason, so there was nothing to lose. All or nothing at this point. Joe had recovered only a very small amount of stamina from that jump and had been hoping to use it to escape. It wasn't going to happen. This man was far too powerful for that. He knew the mage would eventually track him down even if he somehow escaped right now, so he wasn't even going to try. Joe jumped off the roof and swung down, hoping that his ability to fall at half damage would save him from his own recklessness. The mage snorted as Joe fell at him.
"I have mage armor too, you moron. I'm fully trained, so mine isn't a flimsy covering either. I may as well be wearing plate armor."
Undeterred, Joe swung as hard as he could, even as lava worms entered his legs with an excruciating, searing pain. His scepter hit, but the bulk of it seemed to bounce off as if it had just impacted a wall. Dexterity check failed. Joe belly flopped onto the steaming street, losing over a quarter of his health at once. The mage made a dismissive gesture, and a fireball took off most of Joe's exposed skin and eyebrows as he was slammed bodily into a nearby building.
"What was that supposed to accomplish? You are even closer to death now. Don't worry, foolish little warlock. I know that you travelers are restored by the gods in the city square a few hours after you perish. That's why I am not worried about killing you. Not at all. When you come back, I'll be there. You will die as many times as needed to ensure that you stay dead."
The mage lifted a hand, and fire began collecting in his palm.
"Yes,"
Joe managed to croak out through his charred lips. The lava worms were ravaging his insides.
"Oh, still able to speak?"
The mage was about to continue, but a strange chiming noise filled his ears.
"And now I have tinnitus. Great! I was too close to the blast zone. Now I need to pay for an overrated healer."
Joe blinked, and within that moment, the mage vanished into the street. Through fluttering, mostly gone eyelashes, he was able to see.
"You have chosen to activate Gravedigger's Requiem. The ritual lasts for 10 seconds after activation."
Heh. At that point, the lava worms reached his brain, and he was unable to heal himself from the catastrophic damage to his gray matter.
"You have died. Calculating. You were attacked in a safe zone by an NPC that was set as non-hostile. Your alignment with the Mage's College, neutral. NPC reason for attacking, death of student. Reason for attack, invalid. No action was taken that should have flagged you for assault. Error. Safe area. Please have patience. This issue is being elevated."
A short time passed before a new message appeared.
"All righty. Let's see here. Oh, you again, huh? Setting your notifications to extra snarky didn't drive the point home. You are still breaking things. Let's take a look. Huh. No. For once, you were the wronged party. If the mage had attacked you because you took his student captive, we would be having a different talk right now. But technically, you were in a safe zone at a safe time, and you were still attacked by a mage who was not supposed to attack you. Here's my take on this. 3 hours till you respawn. No loss of experience. I'm also giving you a temporary boost to your reputation with the college for 6 hours when you respawn. You'll be set to reluctantly friendly. That should give you enough time to make your case before turning into a human tiki torch. Good luck. Stop breaking my world, or I will break you. Love, Certified Altruistic Lexicon."
Joe felt a bit leery about this situation. He just got a signed note from the AI in control of the entire game. He had specifically been told not to draw the AI's attention. While he was out of the game, he did a bit of reading and called his mom. She was ecstatic, of course. He was calling her so often now. For her, it was only a little over a day since the last time they talked, though for him it was 2. Joe told her about his new friends, and she told him about how she had been on perpetual vacation after she had gotten the winnings from her lottery ticket and sent him off. There were a few sad moments, such as when she asked when he would be coming to visit. Really, there was nothing he could say about that, so he just shook his head and told her it would be a long, long time. When they finally ran out of things to say, they reluctantly hung up,
and Joe flopped into the fluffy chair that he was able to create in the area. The time passed quickly with a nap, and an alarm woke him up 5 minutes before he was allowed back into the world. He got himself ready and stepped into Eternia as the portal appeared. A very familiar and unpleasantly smiling face was waiting for him. In fact, it was the first thing he saw.
"Why, hello there. Let's talk about how you managed to drop me a kilometer under the ground, shall we?"
Joe winced. The bright red robes were covered in filth, and the mage himself was heaving with what appeared to be barely suppressed anger. If he was this furious after what would have been 6 hours...
"Oh, hey there. It's such a... surprise to see you."
"I bet it is."
The mage's hand burst into flame, and he started reaching for Joe's face with a maniacal grin on his face.
"Your apprentice is alive, you know."
Joe tried to keep his tone conversational as his eyelashes curled from the heat.
"But if I don't get him some food and water soon, he won't be."
The flaming hand stopped moving closer, but also didn't back away.
"If you are lying to me, I will burn every bit of your skin off before digging into the next layer. I will peel you like a potato."
Joe snorted a laugh, making the mage's threats trail off in confusion.
"A potato? Ha! Tell Cell that you called me a potato. He will laugh, I swear. Let's go."
"He is really alive? He told you his name?"
The mage couldn't seem to reconcile his expectations with reality.
"Yeah, we're totally friends now."
Joe cautiously started walking away, moving toward his warehouse.
"I don't believe you.
Cell's company is not something a person enjoys."
The mage snorted with annoyance.
"I can always kill you later, so let's go save my apprentice."
"What if he doesn't want to be saved?" Joe asked in a serious tone. "What if, when he sees you, he tells you to leave? He might come up with all manner of excuses, like telling you I am trapping you, I'm his new best friend, or that I'm actually a powerful mage and you should run away." Haughtily, the mage looked Joe up and down.
"I think that you used your most powerful spell already. I think it had no effect on me because I possess the dual affinities for earth and fire and simply unburied myself. I see no need to run from you, and I will explain this to him. Then you both will explain what the abyss is going on."
They walked in silence for a few minutes before the mage started talking again.
"So you are an earth mage? Or whatever the equivalent is for a self-trained hedge witch like yourself?"
"Actually, no. I'm not really sure how I got on the college's watch list. I have a single spell that could be classified as a mage ability, but I got it from my deity. I'm actually a cleric."
"A single mage spell is enough to draw us to you. Why didn't you register with the college? You had to have heard of the consequences."
"Why should I register? Where is the benefit to me? I'm not looking for training or to boost my mage capabilities."
Joe carefully lied.
"Why should I pay a king's ransom simply not to be attacked for a spell I gained via divine providence?"
The mage thought on that for a few minutes as they approached the warehouse.
"I see your point, but it doesn't matter. If you have a single mage-classed spell, you need to sign the accords. It is the only way we have been able to maintain order in the kingdom. It is what keeps powerful mages out of politics and government positions."
Joe kept his voice calm and tried to remain collected. "What if I simply cannot afford to pay? I am in a noble guild and am a guild officer. What if we made it a personal quest to kill you all? We are travelers. We'll keep coming back if you kill us. Can you say the same? I also took a quest directly from the Queen in the last few days. Is it really wise to make an enemy out of a huge portion of the population, especially those you can't kill off, simply because they are using the abilities given to them? And it was given to me. I did not study for it or find my spell lying around. It was a quest reward."
"But why not sign the accords?
The mage seemed frustrated, like Joe wasn't hearing him.
All you need to do is list out your magical abilities, pay the 100 gold, and inform a certified teacher if you gain more magical abilities. You can keep your spell, and you will just need to pay a percentage of quest rewards to the college. You won't be a licensed mage, and cannot attain rank or training in your spells, but you won't be hunted down.
Shock was written across Joe's face.
What? I can just go in and get access to the Accords? I was told that the only way was to join the college and become a licensed mage for multiple thousands of gold.
The mage rubbed his temples.
This is why I told them we needed more publicity. Listen, do you have 100 gold?
I do.
Then, if Cell is safe, I will plead your case to the council and the Archmage. Either way, you will be brought into the college tomorrow. If you sign the Accords and they witness it, and you haven't killed any mages, I will do my best to make sure you walk away with a clean record.
Charisma plus one. You have reached an important milestone in the growth of your charisma. As you now have 15 charisma, you can gain access to the basic skill of charismatic people. Speech. Skill gained. Speech. Novice one. Talk your way out of things. Talk your way in. This skill adds a bonus equivalent to your skill level onto your charisma when attempting to convince another person or group of people to do something they normally would not. Only activates via talking. Chance for new or unique access to quests has increased.
That's very nice of you. We're here. Joe distractedly walked up to the door and pulled out his key. As he was unlocking it, the mage coughed.
I'm not feeling very well, all of a sudden.
Indeed, the contrast of his red robes and green face clearly showed how sickly he was.
That's just the building. Joe motioned for him to wait at the door. It'll get worse for you the deeper into the building you go. I'll go get Cell. Don't worry about coming in. Also, Cell and I are immune.
I'm not going to wait here, and I'm not letting you out of my sight. Let's go.
They stepped into the building, and the mage's bowels made a low moaning noise.
We may need to move a bit faster.
You have a couple options here. If you go further, you will start puking and... well, I'm sure you can feel what else will happen. You can wait here, try your luck, or put some blood in this chalice. Joe pulled the tarnished cup out of his ring. I'll bring it over there, and you will feel better right away. Ignoring him, the mage looked across the room where his apprentice was standing.
Cell! You're alive!
Master?
Cell could only see silhouettes, as they were framed by the light coming through the doorway.
Don't do anything that man asks you to. He is an evil, conniving...
Don't worry about him. He will be signing the Accords in the morning, Cell,
the mage told him equitably.
What? No way. He went out of his way to convince me how evil the college was. He tried to tell me that the Accords are shackles that keep us under the thumb of the Archmage, how we are incredibly weak because it is impossible for commoners and rogue mages to enter our ranks.
Cell was almost shaking.
All of that rhetoric against the college, and he is joining?
The mage seemed frozen in place, his face aghast.
He told you all of that?
Yes!
If you went back to the college tonight, would you feel the need to explain your whereabouts and what he told you to your colleagues?
The mage inquired. Voice deadly calm.
Of course! I need to discuss this with them so that we can study the Accords further and have a valid explanation against this line of reasoning in the future.
Cell's voice trailed off as he saw the shock in his master's posture.
In that case, Cell, I can't take you back with me tonight. You were already on the verge of increasing your rank, and with this information and attitude toward it, I can't allow you to be around other mages until you sign the Accords a second time.
The mage seemed sorrowful, and his hands were clenched to the point of draining color away.
What are you talking about? Master, you can't mean to leave me here. Why?
Cell shouted across the room in a hoarse voice. Drat. Joe had forgotten to leave him drinking water again. Isn't it obvious, Cell? Joe crossed his arms and stared at the red-robed mage. It is because what I said is the truth. Your master is under the same compulsion that you will be, a more advanced version of what you are sworn to. Master Mage, tell me a single negative thing about the Accords. Anything at all. Tell me you don't like the quill they made you sign with. Say the font was a dumb choice, or that it was written in Comic Sans. Perhaps there was poor lighting in the area it's stored in? The mage opened his mouth, closed it, and looked away. Joe snorted through his nose. As I thought, you can't say anything against it. You also can't let someone go against the Accords, am I correct? A stay of execution is the best you can do? Still looking away, the mage made a motion that could almost be considered a nod. His voice came out as a whisper. I can't let Cell go back right now. If he started speaking out, someone might kill him. I would have to kill him.
Master, no, you can't be serious.
Cell sunk to the floor. On his knees, he grabbed his hair with both hands.
We've become little better than slaves? I can't!
If you don't think of it like that, life is far more manageable, the mage spoke softly. Think of the Accords as you always have, a force for good in the kingdom. There isn't any other way to justify what we have to do. He struggled to get out the last words, and seemed to be in pain even from that light disagreement. He took a deep, shuddering breath before turning bloodshot eyes to Joe. I'll come back for you in the morning. Can you keep him here? If you do so and don't cause problems, I'll pay you back half of the fee for signing the Accords. Why did you have to explain his position in the... He coughed blood.
I'll keep him here, Joe promised solemnly.
The mage closed his mouth with a loud click, nodded, and turned toward the door.
Master, you can't,
Cell called brokenly, standing as close to the edge of his containment as he could get. The mage grit his teeth.
You are wrong, Cell. I literally need to.
As much as I don't.
He started to choke and grabbed at his throat. He was still for a few seconds, then reached into a satchel at his side. Three bottles that should not have fit into the bag appeared, each glowing a bright blue color.
Take these. Whatever you are doing to contain him, just make sure it holds.
Joe held the bottles and tried to inspect them.
Perception check failed. Intelligence check versus contextual evidence and past experience. Success. Item acquired. Concentrated mana rejuvenation potion times 3. Restores 300 mana over 5 seconds. Triples mana regeneration for 1 minute. Item rarity. Artificially rare. Common.
Those are only allowed to be produced or sold in the Mage's College, in case you are wondering why such a useful item isn't found in shops.
The mage released a sound that resembled a laugh, but it was obvious that it was simply a strangled sob.
Yet another product that benefits our great school. Make sure you are here at sunup and don't cause problems for us, or you will be declared a warlock as well as a rogue.
Storing the potions, Joe nodded at the mage. The red-robed man made a motion that could be mistaken for wiping his eyes and walked out the door. Retching sounds echoed faintly into the building. But Joe had a feeling that it was not because of his active rituals. Chapter 35. Joe clapped and smiled brightly.
Well, that was horrible and heartbreaking.
Cell glared at him, tears openly streaming down his face.
You are... How can you be so willing to throw yourself into servitude?
Sal growled brokenly.
You should run while you still can. Vanish into the city. I have no choice but to accept my...
He erupted into a coughing fit, surprise written large on his face. Looks like the Accords are punishing you a bit. Joe watched as Sel's face turned purple, and the coughs became flecked with blood. He sent a healing spell at Sel, just to be on the safe side. Why don't you eat dinner and get some rest?
Why don't you let me ruminate about my fate?
Sel choked out a dramatic rebuttal. You do whatever you need to do. Joe pulled out his book on rituals and sat down for a long study session. An hour passed in near silence, the only sound being the scratching of a quill and various soft sobbing noises. Joe looked up when Sel quieted down fully. Your master called me a warlock, then later seemed to change his mind and told me that I would be declared a warlock. I thought that was just a type of spellcaster, someone who debuffs others or summons beings to fight for him.
No. Well, yes, they can be warlocks. It is a title given to those who break oaths. Not everyone can make a mana contract, and most people don't want to be bound by soul-crushing pain or death if they violate a contract. So they make deals. Oaths. If you break your word of honor, you are despised by any who can see the title.
Sel seemed to be exhausted. He didn't even look over while speaking.
This is one of the few titles that can't be revoked or changed by a deity, since honor is only amongst people. Only the wronged party, a magistrate, or the king can rule against the title and lift the restrictions it imposes. Even then, any but the wronged party can only revoke the title if the reason for breaking the oath was just, such as an oath specifically pledged under duress or for the greater good of the kingdom.
That's pretty specific. Joe was quiet for a short while. Sounds like it would be a fairly common title then.
Oh, it is, Sel responded dully. The title fits the oath broken, though. A serious oath, such as leaving your men to die or sacrificing another you pledged to protect, will impact your interactions greatly and give you a negative balance on your karmic luck.
Karmic luck? Do you have an explanation for that? Joe perked up. This was one of the few stats he knew nothing about.
I don't. All I know is that you never want it to be negative.
Sel fell silent again. I see. Joe kept studying his book, trying to find a way to survive the upcoming day. His eyes lit up as he thought of a single possibility. Reversing it? Would that even work? I can't risk it. What if I changed it? If I added this... No, the power requirement would be too high. Combining it? That might work. I'd need an additional circle, though. Apprentice level. This might get messy. He shuddered and got to work on creating a new ritual. Time began to creep by, and once he finished his work, there were only a few hours remaining until dawn. Joe's eyelids were sagging, trying to force him to accept the embrace of Morpheus. He powered through, keenly feeling the need to stay alive. Fear of potential slavery or death was a good motivator. Joe began drawing out the spell circles, knowing he needed to be precise, but also doing his best to draw quickly. Every time he made a mistake and needed to remake a portion, he growled at himself and his wasteful actions. Skill increase. Drawing. Novice 5. Control of the body starts with control of the mind. Control of chalk was supposed to start as a child. Whatever, right? You got a tiny bit better at a mundane task. An hour before dawn, he shook Sel awake. Sel, I was hoping to ask a favor of you.
Are you being serious right now?
Sel sleepily replied, tiredness and angst coloring his voice.
Why in the world would I help you willingly?
I'd just really like to survive the day. I have no doubt that once I am near the Accords, at least one person will try to kill me. Ask yourself this, Sel. Do you want me to sign the Accords, or die before I get there? Sel seemed to struggle with himself for a long moment. Grudgingly, he answered,
I want you to sign them.
Thank you, Sel, Joe stated warmly. When he turned so that Sel couldn't see his face, his eyes hardened. He already knew that the Accords subtly influenced the mind of whoever signed them. This was proof that the Accords wanted to grow and impact more people. He remembered the words of the owner of the Odds and Ends store. An enchanted item was alive, if just barely. He was sure that a magical contract that had thousands ensnared and had lasted for hundreds of years had a more developed ego. It wanted to grow, to have more people trapped in its binding words, or it could be that Sel wasn't a terrible human being and didn't want a fairly innocent person to die for no reason. Could really go either way. Here's what I need you to do. I am creating a ritual, and you don't need to help. I'm just going to give you a mana potion and hope that you keep yourself alive by restoring your mana when the ritual tries to kill you. Thanks. Joe grinned evilly and marched toward the ritual as Sel gave off an indignant squeaking sound. Placing his scepter in the innermost ring, Joe started pouring mana into the ritual. The power draw was massive with three rings, and even with his ability to only pay half of the final cost, the ritual was demanding 1900 mana. The first circle activated without issue, leaving Joe with mana to spare. The second circle began to pull power, and he became a bit worried. When the first had been pulling mana, it was at a rate he was used to. The second one was draining him almost twice as fast. As he approached 10% remaining in his mana pool, the power draw switched over to Sel. The young mage cried out as he felt his mana channels straining to direct the flow of power. Though he really didn't want to help his captor, if he let the power run out of his body in a disordered fashion, he might be torn apart. Joe took this opportunity to drink the first mana potion and felt a sense of relief and clarity as his mana was restored. With triple mana regeneration, he was quickly coming back to full strength. Sel dropped to 5% mana before the burden of the ritual switched back to Joe. He reached for the mana potion with trembling hands, but was caught off guard when Joe managed to say, No! Wait! For... signal! Or we both die! The mage wavered, hesitating as mana exhaustion clouded his thoughts. He was not used to getting his mana pool below half, ever. It wasn't allowed since you never knew when a commoner was going to attack you for no good reason. Therefore, all mages were taught to keep half of their mana pool for emergencies. Hand shaking, Sel brought the potion bottle to his lips. Joe was focusing on his mana expenditure, watching with awe as his mana regeneration fought against the rapid power suck of the ritual. With triple regeneration for 1 minute, he was generating a tiny bit more than 20 mana a second. It was fascinating to watch his mana decline at what appeared to be a very slow rate, about 10 mana a second. So the ritual was pulling 30 per second? They could do this. They just needed to hold on. Then the third circle began to draw mana. Blood erupted from Joe's mouth as he was unable to contain the flow of mana within his channels. Watching his mana decrease at almost double the previous rate, Joe turned to Sel to give him the signal to start drinking, only to see that his potion bottle was already empty. Sel could see only horror in Joe's eyes as he looked at the little moron. At 5% mana, the ritual switched targets, and Sel screamed. Mana seemed to tear out of him in arcing bolts of energy, and his eyes and mouth had coronas of blue light shining from them. He struggled and failed to control himself, doing everything he could to keep the mana flowing in an orderly fashion. Joe could see the moment that the boosted mana regeneration ended for Sel. He seemed to shrink, almost shrivel, as his power was pulled from him. Joe grabbed the final potion and chugged it just as Sel collapsed. Instantly back to 3/4 full, Joe braced himself and guided his mana along the channels. He wasn't going to make it. Sweat dripped down his face, stinging his eyes as he watched his mana bar trickle toward the halfway point. He gasped and fell as the power draw suddenly vanished, the ritual completing. What? How had it completed? Their vitality should have been drained as their mana ran out. Joe went over the calculations in his head once again. It should have needed 1900 mana.